Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 542, Hog Wild, recorded live on June 2nd, 2016. Hello everyone and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to another fine week of Halo content. We have a few new things added to the Halo Playground, as well as some HCS stuff going on. Actually, right now, as we are recording this, the Summer 2016 HCS Pro League is actually underway. The European start off was earlier today, and we're actually recording in the middle of the North American one, so we're probably not doing this quite at the best time, but hey, we had this time slot first, so
just because they're more popular than us, right. I mean, really.
Right. But we do have a few things to talk about today. We do have some new stuff in Halo that we got that we'll go ahead and jump right on into. There's not much big stuff. There's kind of a little lull here before we have E3 coming up in just about 2 weeks, which is going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, so we discussed a little bit before that they're redoing some of the content stuff as far as distribution for Halo 5. And with regards to the latest thing that they've been working on, they don't have some of the content ready yet. So they're actually dumping off, or they already have dumped off the Hog Wild requisitions that were going to be part of the whole update together. So normally when there's an update, it is the recs come in with some kind of update to like a new map, whether it's arena map or Warzone, and new forge stuff and new game modes or whatever. But because of the content that they're working on to try to work out some of the kinks, they decided to go ahead and give us all the recs, which there's some pretty cool recs to actually mess around with in the Hog Wild update. And then they're going to deliver the rest of the content to that as the update later this month. This month being June.
Yeah, me and Penn's, our faithful subscriber, found out just how effective the Needler Warthog is.
Yeah, right? It's pretty effective, believe it or not. It's crazy.
I gotta ask, have you driven a Warthog since the update?
Yes, I have.
Have they seemed a little bit more wonky than normal?
I've only driven 3 or 4 since then, and I haven't noticed anything too out of the ordinary. But then again, I don't normally drive that many Warthogs on a regular basis.
I gotta say something. The racing hog, whatever they call it, just the Scout Hog version. Yeah. I pulled one out.
Well, it's called a Scout Hog. Yeah, that's what it is.
No, I meant the actual name of whatever they called that Scout Hog.
Oh, the Rally one?
Yeah, the Rally one. I pulled that thing out, and yeah, it is definitely faster than normal Warthog, but I couldn't control the stupid thing. I was all over the place. I'm like, did they change the Warthogs or what? And tonight, with the Needler Hog, I noticed the same thing. They just seem to be a little different than they were. It might be that I just haven't driven one in a long time, but they just seem a little bit more wonky. But it could just be me. That's why I was asking if you'd driven one.
I have not. I haven't driven any of the new ones. I have. Well, I take that back. I think I drove. I may have I walked up to a Sword and Leader Warthog and drove it for a little bit before getting destroyed because it was on fire when I got into it.
It's probably not the best time to get into a Warthog.
Well, I mean, sometimes you could get a couple kills with it before you go out. So sometimes it's worth the risk. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes. Sometimes it works out, just not often. So as far as the new Warthogs, because I'm guessing, honestly, I haven't looked at the description of the new Warthogs yet, but if what you say is true with the Rally Hog that they're faster, I don't think any of the previous hogs before these that came out had like a increased speed. So maybe that's part of it.
The Rally Hog, I kind of expected it because there is a speed difference. You know, with more speed, things get funky, but I didn't expect it out of the Needler Hog. But there
makes sense. Yeah.
four hogs. You have two versions of the rally hog. You have the scout version and you have the warp, you know,
the normal,
the, yeah, the gun hog. Both of them have increased armor and both of them have increased speed.
Okay.
Then you have the needler hog, which has shields, and you have a needler chain gun, which it kind of sounds like it's a slow firing needler. You know how a needler, you get that real rapid fire. Well, the chain gun, it's thun, 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 but you get that needle sound.
And it's slower than the Oni hog, the chain gun.
But man, it's fun. I don't know what it was, but it's fun. You still do get the super combined. The new rocket hog, which is the name of it's escaping me now.
The Vespin rocket hog.
Vespin, yes. That one, as far as the hog itself, it's normal, I believe. But the rockets will lock on to pedestrians and vehicles. And it has a faster reload rate.
I saw iSpiteful actually put out one of his videos either yesterday or today on using that thing. It's ridiculous.
I watched that one.
And it reloads so fast.
Uh-huh. I almost it's pulled crazy. That one out, but I wanted to try out the needler hog.
Uh-huh. And I haven't had a chance to try out any of them, to be honest.
The rally hog with the its chain gun, I think it's going to be pretty formidable. Warthog to contend with because you can't, it's harder to get away from, especially if you're in a hog. Cause what finally brought us down was one of those rally hogs. And I just couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. I'll have to see if I can conjure those up. Cause I know for the rec pack that we got as part of the update, we got one of each hog. So that was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice to get that. So maybe I'll hop in some Warm Zone today or tomorrow and actually go try some of those out, because I've actually done so. I normally do Warzone Assault whenever I try to do my Warzone daily, but I've been recently just hopping straight into Warzone. And yesterday and the day before that, Tuesday, I actually was able to get the wins back to back. So I had one win on Tuesday and one win on Wednesday, and it was interesting because for both of them, our team was losing up until the final boss, and then our team ended up getting the final boss, and then we won because we got the final boss.
Nice.
Yeah. And I actually took a clip of the one on Tuesday and put it up on my my feed, and that was, I don't think I necessarily got the kill, but I contributed enough to where it gave me like the legendary kill badge. The
assist medal or something. Yeah.
And because it was very close to being... It was the warden, so it was very close to being out there. And I threw a splinter grenade, and very shortly thereafter, or kind of right in line with it, the warden got eliminated. So
cool.
I should try to actually call in some of those and mess around with them.
I'll tell you what, I definitely happy with that one. I did learn one thing. I am not calling it in unless I have somebody I trust with me
to gun it.
Yeah, well, to gun it or drive it.
You kind of have to do that regardless, though, because if you're going in with a hog with a random, it's very hit or miss. I think more often a miss than a hit.
I pulled it yesterday. I played a regular game, Warzone, and I pulled in an Oni hog and just got a random in it. And I think I would have rather had cat driving.
Oh, ouch.
No offense, guy, but you suck as a Warthog driver.
That hurts.
He flipped his like four times, and after the fourth time I got in the driver's seat and let him gun.
Gotcha. So Pins agrees with you that wonky is kind of how he feels about the Warthogs as well.
Yeah.
So nothing crazy there, I guess. Laird says the Needler Hog shields are not that great though.
No, they're not. I mean, you still have to drive it like you're in a normal hog. I mean, the shields will protect you a little bit, but they blow through them pretty quick.
Gotcha. Among the other wrecks that we have for the Hog Wild wreck pack is we have the little hybrid scopes, which you were exactly right last week. And it's the little carbine scope that's been modified for all the UNSC loadouts, except for the pistol, of course.
The funny thing is it lays down.
Which I think is kind of cool, actually.
Well, yeah, it's cool. When you zoom in, you can actually watch it pop up. And it's actually I never realized how good that scope was as far as being able to easily target somebody. But I've been using it on a battle rifle, and it seems to be a lot easier to keep on target with it.
Nice. I need to figure out if I unlocked... I think I did unlock one of the hybrid ones, but I can't remember which one it was. And I wish there was a way that you could reorder the loadout weapons or have some kind of default selection.
Yeah, move your favorites to the front of the line type deal.
Right, or the ones that you know you're going to use the most often. Or maybe just be able to... Yeah, basically rearrange them would be nice, because I think to... a certain extent, they're arranged first by the rec power and then by the method of how you unlock it.
Well, I think they're sorted by the rec level first and then the attachment second. Because if I remember right, they go in the same order of attachment when you look at them.
Anyways, that's a long time to spend just searching for the right one. And especially if it's one of the ones that's kind of closer to the middle. You're going to have to scroll anyway. It's not something where you could just loop around easily and then select it. It'd be nice to see that change, at least.
Yeah, it would definitely be nice to see that change, to be able to put the stuff, you know, the loadout weapons that you like the most closer to the front of the line.
Yeah. So hopefully you get something like that. Would be nice.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I heard rumblings before that it was possibly be something worked, but the fact that we haven't heard anything yet, I don't know if it's something that's going to happen. Maybe something to ask people at E3. Anyways.
That'd be a good question to ask.
Yeah. We have 5 new emblems. We have the number 11. So I believe we now have 1 through 12 for all the numbers. We have new Mombasa, which is a lion looking thing with a shield on its back and a couple other things. There's Stashy, which is Clippy with a mustache and a comb.
Yeah, I actually got that one.
I did too. I think that one's kind of clever.
I thought it was pretty cute.
Yeah. There's also a Dare one for Dare from ODST.
ODST?
Yep. Bucks Love. And then there's Grunt. It'd be cool if that one was animated. Have the confetti falling. That'd be pretty interesting. So those are the 5 emblems. We have a new weapon skin set for all the loadout weapons called Aurum. I believe that's how you say that. A-U-R-U-M. Aurum. And it's basically...
You're asking the wrong person.
It's gold-plated, similar to which one from Halo 4? Probably the Champions Pack.
The steel? I thought that was the steel skin that they showed. Or I thought that was the name of it.
It was like a gold-plated one. Yeah.
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about, but right. I can't remember the name
Chat,
of it.
Help us out. Anyways, we have the Starfire Visor, which is... a purple, pink, and blue mix. Then we have 2 new armor sets, the Stinger armor and the Interceptor Rictus armor. So in total, we have 24 new wrecks that were supposed to be coming with the Hogwild update. But again, they are dropping the wrecks before the update is actually coming. So there is that. And that was all available now, actually. They dropped it on Tuesday, literally the last day in May. So, still counts, I guess, technically. The rest of the content is supposed to be coming out later this month, which I believe includes Race. I think they were discussing that possibly coming out along with a Warzone map, which I guess would be the Warzone Assault map to the latest one that came out, which I'm forgetting the name of at the moment. A new arena map, and of course, new Forge pieces, because they're always working on new Forge content. So that'll be nice. Again, not sure when that's happening, but they've decided to hold that back and polish a few things up before releasing the update. So they went ahead and gave us a little favor of dropping the Rex for us. So thanks, 343.
It was a nice Tuesday surprise.
Yeah, always a nice surprise. And I think my Rex unlocks are up to about 79% right now.
Yeah, I was just looking through mine and I have unlocked almost all the assault rifles. I have one more assault rifle to unlock.
Uh-huh.
4 more DMRs. I unlocked, let's see, four more battle rifles, and I unlocked four more DMRs with my last bunch of rec packs. So I was happy to see more DMRs.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Godzilla T does a weekly rec opening. So it's your search for junk? What is it called again?
It's my weekly hunt for junk.
There you go.
And it's on my personal channel. You can find me at Godzilla Todd on YouTube.
Yeah, so check those out. He goes through all the stuff that has I just totally lost my train of thought. Sorry. He opens all of it and he shows what permanents he unlocks and some of the other stuff too. So yeah, definitely check it out.
I open a mix of bronze, silver, and gold packs. I tend to highlight any special packs that come out.
Like you'll have the March Arena one probably next week, right?
I have the March Arena one now.
Or sorry, May, not March, May.
Well, yeah, the May one. Yeah. Got me screwed up now. The one I currently have on the channel has the special one they gave us for the Wild Hog, as well as regular rec openings. When the Remember Reach update came out, I opened one of the Reach packs, the special Reach packs there. If I've got the extra cash, I'll try to buy the specialty packs. I don't buy any silver or gold packs. They're all bought by rec points. So, and you know, these are generally what I get in a week's time. Here recently, I've been kind of slow on the upload because I've had other distractions, but, I'll generally get anywhere from 20 to 30 packs per rec opening. So, you know, if you like seeing people open rec packs, come check it out.
Nice.
And I pronounce most of everything correctly.
Some of those are hard. Everything. I'll give you credit. Some of those are pretty hard.
I think they pay people to come up with those names and make them as abstract or weird as possible.
Yeah. So there's that. Make sure you check that out. And I think that's pretty much. We have one more guaranteed rec drop with June, since that's when they've promised content through. I have a feeling they'll continue to release stuff, especially Forge stuff, because Tom French and those guys are just going crazy with the Forge content, which is awesome for Forgers. Awesome for customs. It really is.
I think as far as, you know, the big updates like we've been getting, you know, this will be the last one with the exception of Firefight.
Warzone Firefight will be huge.
I don't know. They may continue to do Warzone maps, but I'm not sure.
I just want to see a properly built big team. I want to see a big team map that's not Forged.
Yes, I do too.
Not to say that the Forged maps are bad, but just to actually have a designed map that's not pieced together.
You know, the one thing that's going to be interesting is when they release Forge for Windows 10. Now, when you port that, is it going to still remain show up in on your Xbox as a Forged map where you could actually go into the Xbox and still edit it? Or is it going to be like an on-disk map where you can't? There's certain parts of it you cannot edit. That would be interesting. I think it'd probably still be editable. I think you'd still be able to go in and edit it. But
the way they make it sound is it's going to be the exact same Forge that is in the game retail version of Forge.
Yeah.
It's just you're going to have the ability to use mouse, keyboard, and get a higher resolution on it. And play customs, which is the majority of what people want to do.
Windows 10 machines.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Totally awesome. We are going to have some people on from 343 and Nick from Forge Hub? Forge something? Yeah, Forge Hub. And we're going to actually talk to them after E3. I've been talking with Nick and Bravo, and we are going to get a podcast going to discuss Forge on PC. It's just right now the team is focused on all the E3 stuff. So they don't want to take any time away from that.
That definitely takes all their attention.
Oh, easily. And that's in less than 2 weeks.
For those of you that listen to Major Nelson's podcast, you'll understand this. They've been working on their E3 since, I think, January.
Yeah. And even before then, for some aspects of it.
Yeah, they've been discussing the E3 since last year's E3, but they really started cranking out work on it, I think, in January is what they said. So, this is something, E3 is a big show. I would love to go to it, all expenses paid.
Good luck. I don't get all expenses paid.
Don't mess up my karma, man.
Hey, if you can get out there, that's the big thing.
Yeah, that ain't no joke.
Because the passes are, those are more expensive than the plane trip.
Like I said, if I get, I tell you what, passes in a hotel, I can get there.
There you go.
Passes in a hotel.
There you go.
That's doable.
My hotel is Hotel Nicodeli. So
it's good to have a friend there.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's been very beneficial, and it's huge that he's opened his place up to me several times. So he's great. He's definitely a hero in my book.
Of course, last time you were there, you kind of had to work for your stay, at least for 4 hours.
I mean, yeah. I didn't have to, but I offered. So in a way, yeah, I guess I did. I'm just happy it's working and he's finally streaming again.
No kidding.
So
Anyway,
so a couple other things to discuss. We have Loot Crate partnering up with 343, or 343 partnering up with Loot Crate, and they're doing the Halo Legendary Crate, which is, for people who already know of Loot Crate, you may have already heard of some of the different offshoots that they've had. So they have Loot Anime, Loot Pets, they have Loot Firefly. So they have a bi-monthly crate of Firefly stuff. So Loot Crate and 343 Industries, the makers of Halo, are coming together to do a Halo crate. So every other month, you're going to get 5 to 7 pieces of Halo merchandise worth upwards of $65 and a crate that's worth $35. And it's going to include a bunch of different stuff like figurines, t-shirts, collectibles, in-game items like rec packs and whatever, and some other cool things as well. And there's no set date on when this is going to happen yet, but you can go over to lootcrate.com/halo. You can find a little more about it, and you can also subscribe to an email that will notify you when the crate is going to be available. Now, the box that they have on there, I'm assuming is kind of tentative for now, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the picture of the box looks wicked. I like that box.
It's a pretty sweet box. If every box was like that, I would be covering my wall with those boxes.
New wallpaper, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Or would you call that wall box? Box wall. There we go.
Box wall. Yeah, there you go. Is that box art?
Yeah, they're
wall?
Finding all, yeah, sure, all kinds of new and interesting ways to make me want to spend money I don't have.
Yeah. So $34.99 plus $5 for domestic shipping if you're a domestic person. If it's international, I think they're usually upwards of $12 to $15 for shipping, but it doesn't exclude you from getting it if you are international. So you're going to get exclusive stuff through this crate. It's like you'll only be able to get some of the stuff in this crate. You won't be able to buy it anywhere else, like Hot Topic or Jinx or the store, wherever. You won't be able to buy this stuff except in this crate. So this is something that you want to hop on and get on board with. Now, we have seen Halo stuff in the past. In December's Galaxy crate last year, we had a rec pack and something else. I can't remember what at the moment, but some other stuff in there. And then we also had a Halo item, which was the weird little Halo hoodie thing that had that was in the first Loot Gaming crate. So we've had Halo stuff before, but now we're going to have this crate that's going to come out every other month. So you're going to basically get 6 of these a year. And over the course of the year, you're looking at $240, but there's going to be some pretty nice stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'll be buying it. I will probably be doing unboxing videos too of it.
Just like your Lego build or your Mega Bloks build videos?
Probably. I mean, there'll obviously be commentary to it, and I won't be building, but yeah, I'll be unboxing stuff.
When's the last one of those you did?
I did a live stream of...
While you were snowed in?
Was it while I was snowed in? I think I did one while I was snowed in, and then one afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Because I did the Flood Falcon, I think, and one other one when I was snowed in, and then I did the Red Target exclusives in another stream after that. And that was back in March, I believe.
I missed that one.
Yeah. And if people could see it right now, I have a closet that is a third full of Mega Block boxes that needs to be built.
So you're going to live stream the Scarab?
I have the Scarab to build. I have the elephant to, not the elephant, the mammoth to build. I have the Ford Unto Dawn to build.
I think that should be like a 12-part series.
So it depends on when I decide to build that, which might include whether or not that's a live stream or maybe just a video. Because when Green Skull did his mammoth, I think it took him 12 to 14 hours.
Yeah.
And then for, I think he got the Scarab too, and I think when he did that, it was almost 24 hours for him to do that straight. Anyways, Halo Loot Crate, we won't hear anything more about it really until August. That's when we're going to get our first look into the first crate, which means we will not have this until probably September. I could possibly see a first run of these being available at PAX West, which tickets still haven't gone on sale for that yet, and it's driving people crazy. And maybe we'll get to see a glimpse of some stuff there as well, possibly. But we won't hear anything until August about what's going to... Or let's look at a sneak peek into the crate until August. So you don't have to worry about looking out for when this is going to be available. I'm not sure how many they're going to have, but I would be pretty sure that they're going to be limited, and it will be something that... If you're not subscribed, email and try to get on board with it as quick as possible, you might lose out on actually getting one of these things. It'd be my guess. So make sure you head on over to lootcrate.com/halo. Go ahead and put in your email address, and then you'll get a notification when the crate is available and then when there are more updates for them to release on the website. So check it out. We have a little bit of chatter going on here in the Twitch stream, as it turns out that a new art piece got revealed somewhere. It's actually up on Reddit right now, thanks to Raikou for posting it in our chat. But it looks like there is a piece of art that is taking place on maybe one of the arcs, maybe the arc that was in Halo 3. There are
possibly
two, there are two arcs in the Halo franchise that we are aware of, so not sure if this is the one that is going to take place on, but it is a possibility. So yeah, interesting stuff there. We're going to hear more about Halo Wars 2 at E3, and there's supposed to be something playable with Halo Wars 2 at E3, so we'll get a lot more information there.
Oh, I can't wait to see footage of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Raikou said that they don't know if it's real, but they're trying to get confirmation. So Reddit is going to be on this like crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's cool looking art.
It is. It is having, well, for the arc to be that close to the Halo and not be as destroyed, I don't know. It doesn't look, if this is really fake, it's a good fake. I'll just say that.
I mean, in the book, which book was it?
It was the last one in the Greg Bear trilogy. It was Silentium?
No. The one that just came out. Oh. Where you had the humans and the elites. Shoot, what was that book? Anyway, I mean, they described the arc as... Yeah, Hunters in the Dark. They described the arc as being damaged, and that photo looks to match the description. I mean, they did say there were some pretty big chunks, you know, that had been broken loose, but
it doesn't look quite as destroyed though.
Yeah. But that could all could be the the angle of the pitcher too.
True. And we don't know exactly when in the Halo timeline this is going to take place either.
True.
Laird said Jurassic Arc.
Yeah.
In the chat.
Jurassic Arc.
Anyways.
And it could be, it could also be the other arc that they're on as well.
Yeah. It, because the one that we went to was, if I remember right, the lesser arc.
Right.
And there's we haven't seen the greater arc yet. Which is supposed to be massive compared to the lesser arc.
Yeah, the lesser arc made a ring that was, what, 10,000 kilometers in diameter? Is that what it was? And then the greater arc made halo rings that were 30,000 in diameter. So basically three times the diameter. Or whatever the math is. But
Pins saying that the greater arc was destroyed in Silentium. So that kind of blows our theory.
Yeah, the way I read it, it could still have survived. How habitable it would be, who knows?
Well, we'll find out more during E3, that's for sure. Moving on, we have a few more things that we're hoping to see at E3, other than Halo Wars 2. Although that's what's going to be the major thing there, and I've already talked to Bravo, and we're probably going to get some interviews lined up to discuss that, which will be awesome.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm also trying to see if I can get a sit down with possibly Aaron Greenberg or Phil Spencer and get a little more information on the rumored Xbox Slim and the Xbox Scorpio that is supposedly coming. Yeah, hopefully that'll work out. I sent an email to the person Aaron Greenberg told me to send it to. We'll see how that turns out. Hope it turns out for good things.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all the major news stuff I think that has kind of happened over the past week. Again, not too much is going on because E3 is coming up here pretty soon, less than 2 weeks away as of this recording. Lots to look forward to, especially Halo Wars 2, which will be crazy. Teabag Halo 4 is hoping for a Halo 6 teaser at E3, which I don't see that
possible
out of the realm of happening.
They could do like they did with Halo 5.
Even though they claimed it wasn't Halo 5.
even though it wasn't Halo 5, but it was Halo 5, but it really wasn't.
But it really was, and yeah.
Yeah. You know, I could see them doing something like that just to kind of start getting people pumped. But and then, you know, then next year they'll come out with Halo 3 anniversary. Just to, you know, really rub it in. Anyway.
I don't think they would do a Halo 3 anniversary, though.
I don't think so either. But yeah, well, with the last thing they released like that, I hope they kind of stay away from that for a while.
I hope it's a done deal. I hope Halo 2 anniversary was the last one because it was on the original Xbox and the Xbox 360, even though it is discontinued in production, it's still supported.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any sense to really cut down that game. Now, it would be interesting to see that for Halo 3's anniversary, they do a PC release.
That would be good. I would like that.
That would be cool. I don't think it'll probably happen. It would be cool if MCC just came to PC and be done with it. That would make a lot of people happy.
Especially if they fixed all the bugs.
Yeah. I don't think that's happening anytime soon either. They're so far focused on Halo 5 right now. The bugs that are evident and just kind of plaguing the MCC right now, I don't think is getting updated that much. Although, apparently there was an update and there is now challenges for Halo 4 in MCC now.
Cool. I'll have to fire that up and take a look up.
Yeah, I can't remember if I mentioned that last week, but Uni did put out a tweet saying that it was there.
So I guess you did not mention that last week.
Nope. I guess there's a small team that's still kind of working that angle and making sure everything's at least running smooth to some degree there. So yeah, cool stuff there.
That is, I have to fire that up and take a look again.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Yeah.
again, we're going to look at doing the Forge PC show after E3. And next week, we're going to look at doing a little more dive into what we're looking forward to for E3. Might try to get some special guests on for that and kind of get a little roundtable going. Lots of stuff regarding the new Xbox hardware, obviously, Halo Wars 2, and some other things that we would like to see. So we'll talk about that next week before we go out, or before I go out to E3. And hopefully we'll get some good content while we're out there as well in terms of interviews. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you've gotten to do multiple times now.
Yeah. I have been...
I'm kind of jealous.
I have been beyond fortunate, beyond blessed to go to E3 three times in a row. And it is awesome every time. It is interesting, though, and I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but it is interesting to go to RTX, PAX, Comic-Cons, and E3 and see how different each atmosphere is. Because every show is different. It appeals to a certain audience. There's a certain target user base or visitor base they're trying to get in and talk to. So E3 is definitely more on the end of press, getting out there, having the companies come out, show what they're working on, and getting some of the more behind the scenes look at some of the finer details. Whereas PAX and RTX are a lot more community focused. So you see devs out there, but they're kind of in a smaller capacity in terms of really diving into the corporate back end of what some of the stuff is doing or what some of the companies are doing and the directions that they're moving in, the technologies that they're working on. But they're mostly there to show off some of the new gameplay and just have fans get hands on and get excited for games. And then you have Comic-Con, which is just crazy. I think that's the best way I can put it. There's so much going on. It's a lot more like going and being able to chat with artists or developers or creators and being able to buy certain things or get certain things signed and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot more fan service, I think, at Comic-Con. And it's not exactly video game focused either. Since we mostly talk about Halo, we're obviously video game focused. E3 is very video game focused. That's kind of where it leads, at least stuff involving video games. So you have VR, you have the consoles, you have the game developers and all that kind of stuff at E3. PAX is a little more kind of tabletop games, video games, that kind of stuff. And then Comic-Con is more wide spectrum geek and nerd culture. So TV shows, film, comics, board games, video games, books, novelists, musicians, composers, a lot more broad spectrum. So it's very interesting to see how each one of these conventions or expos differ from one another. And the last one on my bucket list, well, there's two more on my bucket list that I would like to go to, one being GDC and one being CES. I don't think I would ever get to CES. Granted, I never thought I would get to E3 either. But GDC would be an interesting one because that's where all the developers get together and discuss some of the techniques and technologies that they use to go into these games that they're making, which I think is a pretty interesting perspective. I've coded a few things. I've used a few technologies myself. So it would be an interesting discussion figuring out how some of these developers go through certain thought processes of how they decide what to use for their games, how they decide to go a certain path when figuring out what to do with campaign or art direction or music direction, all that kind of stuff. So I think GDC would be a really cool convention to go to.
Yeah, the videos that come out of GDC are, if you're not interested in that industry, they can be pretty boring, but there's a lot of information in them when they get to start really talking about the game design. Now, you know, I'm a total novice when it comes to that type of computer skill, but I find some of it kind of interesting as they explain what they're doing. Most of it I don't understand, but it's kind of fun to just listen to them and, you know, have them show you what they're, you know, what they do to design these video games, and it's really interesting stuff.
It is pretty cool. And as far as doing some of the game dev stuff, I've touched a little bit on it, so I understand some of the mechanics, but you look at the AAA titles and the scope of their games just blows your mind. Just think of Halo being a AAA title. Think of all the stuff that you have to do to account for all that. You have people that are working on the lore and the story, and then you have the people that are working on the art of the environment, and then the art of the weapons, and then the art of the characters. And then you have the people that are working on sound design and making sure the sound design fits with scripting in the game and making sure that all that scripting works both in campaign and in multiplayer. And then you have the Forge and making sure that it works and it fits in and everything operates and making sure that the controllers integrate. And that can go on and on and on, listing other stuff that goes into game development. But that kind of stuff fascinates certain people, as well as E3 is fascinating to a lot more of the media side of things and a lot more of the bloggers. Granted, that's where a lot of the media companies go and get the information and regurgitate it out to the masses. And then you have PAX, which is a little more drawn towards gaming in general, both PC gaming, board gaming, tabletop gaming, and video gaming, and other kind of nerd culture stuff. And then you have Comic-Con, which is just a vast array of, as Laird puts it in the chat, nerd mecca.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a celebration of anything and everything that most people associate with nerds, you know, whether it be comic nerds, Halo nerds, whatever. It's always a lot of fun to see what comes out of Comic-Con as far as just the show that they put on, because a lot of the people, a lot of the best shows are the people that go to Comic-Con, not the people exhibiting at Comic-Con.
The cosplayers. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The cosplayers. I mean, even just some of the characters that show up, and I'm not talking about the cosplayers, just the people that show up there. They have very interesting characters that they are. I mean, just personalities. Some of the funniest things I've seen come out of Comic-Con are people that they're just there to see the show, but they have such a unique outlook on life that it really makes you appreciate a different point of view. I probably would be the best way to put it, but I always love seeing stuff come out of Comic-Con. We have one that we just had in my town last month, I think it was, or earlier this month. And I no longer work that close to the downtown where this is, but when I did, you know, I would get some of the people going to Comic-Con because, you know, they were having car issues. I work in an auto parts store, so the car breaks down, where do they go? And just meeting some of the people that go down there, they're normal everyday people, but they've got just a nerdy side. There's stuff that they're really passionate about. You're just like we're passionate about Halo. So it brings in a unique group of people. It seems almost to be freeing for people when they attend an event like a Comic-Con.
Yeah, interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I never really thought about it that way. Thank you. I have to keep that in mind next time I'm out at San Diego. Because I've never really thought about it, like just the normal people in that. Because when I've only been to San Diego Comic-Con once. I've been to New York Comic-Con 3 times. And it's always kind of the cosplayers that stick out. I never really stopped to think about the other normal people that are there. Because sometimes you don't know if the normal-looking people are simply exhibitors or they're guests. Sometimes it's obvious to tell which one's a guest, but...
But, you know, the people I see are people that they stand out almost as much as the people in costume. Because they're interacting with the people in there, whether they're in costume or not. I mean, they're talkers. They engage people. It's, you know, there's always the people that, you know, they just kind of go around to see the show. And then you got the people that like to interact with the show, and then you got the people that like to put on the show. It's just, it's such a wide group of people.
It is. And it's great.
I really ought to get tickets to my local one and go wander around sometime.
That'd be
but it always
cool.
Sneaks up on me, and it's over with by the time I realize it's going on.
Aw, that sucks. Wah-wah.
Or, you know, I have to do the thing like work. Work, it just seems to get in the way all the time.
Yeah, that is a thing, isn't it? Kind of sucks sometimes.
I have to feed my habits.
You gotta feed yourself.
Like I said, I gotta feed my habits.
Oh, boy. That's pretty much all the news that we have to talk about this week. We're kind of taking it easy on any specific topics until after E3, because we're going to get Toa Freak on to discuss some lore. We'll probably get some folks from Podcast Evolved on as well to talk lore, since we finally finished the campaign last week, which is awesome. By the way, that episode is going to be released tonight or tomorrow morning, depending on when I get it and when we're done with this podcast. But I wanted to touch a little bit on something that we've been working with that I mentioned last week and the week before, and that is Halo Bowl. So we've been partnering, we partnered up with Drunken Halo, Podcast Evolved, and Delta Halo to put together a little charity tournament that we're calling Halo Bowl, and it's happening on Wednesday next week, so June 8th. It's going to start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when we're going to start streaming. And we have someone from Drunken Halo, and we have someone from our side that are going to be commentating. And we're going to be playing round robin HCS style for kind of the pool play. So every team is going to play every other team. And the top two performing teams out of the pool play, round robin play, are going to be seeded into the finals. The round robin play is going to be the best of five. And the finals is going to be the best of seven. And we're going to be using the same game maps and game modes that were used during the Halo World Championships back in March. So the maps that were used in the pool, the group play, are the same ones that we're going to use in here. And then the maps for the final from the Halo World Championship are going to be used for the final. Our team consists of myself, Keys, Dusk Xander, and Itanium. So we had 7-8 people show interest in participating. Keys, I know firsthand, is one of our better members. I gave him a pass on showing up for practice or for tryouts. And then we had Dusk and Itanium be the only two to show up for tryouts. So they basically defaulted into making up our four. And then Laird also showed up, and he has volunteered to be our substitute should we need him or should one of our folks need to drop out for any reason. We have had a few practices, a couple practices so far, and we have a couple of things that we've worked on, and we actually did really well with earlier this week that when we did tryouts, it wasn't quite as good, but it was nice to see a good improvement on Tuesday's practice that we had. One thing that is very important to competitive Halo, at least, is communication and map awareness. And that is definitely something that all of us, every one of us on the team, needed to work on. So trying to make that a priority, trying to keep track of power weapon spawns, power up spawns, and that kind of stuff as well. So we're excited. We did a little podcast together, all of our podcasts in one, and that will also be released. That'll probably be released Saturday. So we all got together. It's actually already up on Drunken Halo's feed, Delta Halo's feed, and maybe Podcast Evolve's feed. There was quite a bit of swear words involved, so I am going to be cleaning up our version before we post it. But if you're not offended of that kind of stuff, you can head on over to their feeds and go ahead and pull the podcast. And of course, there is the official announcement over on Drunken Halo that you can find as well. I think drunkenhalo.com/Halo Bowl takes you to the official announcement. Don't quote me on that, but you can find it over there. And then we also have a gamers outreach donation page that we're actually going and collecting all of the funds for, and that's where this charity part comes in. So we're not doing this for like prizes or anything. This is all for namesake and for just kind of doing this together as a charity. Our goal is to raise $4,000 to support one go-kart. And for those who don't know, a go-kart is this nursing cart, which you would normally see in a hospital. And they load it up with a bunch of gaming gear. So there's a console on there. There's usually a screen with a library of games. And they roll these in to kids in hospitals. And they basically have a portable gaming system that they can use and help pass the time while they're in the hospital. So it's really cool. Really good cause. We haven't done anything directly with them in the past. We've tweeted out their stuff and we've supported them a little bit in the past just from a social perspective. But this is the first time Podtacular in any kind of official capacity, at least while I've been at the reins, is actually doing something in direct conjunction with supporting Gamers Outreach. And if you want to learn more, I believe you can head over to gamersoutreach.org. I don't believe there's a dash, but if not, just Google Gamers Outreach and you can find out more about what they're about, their cause and their mission and all that stuff. But that is what we're doing this for. And we're going to do this all on Wednesday. So pool play is going to happen Wednesday. Finals are going to happen on Wednesday. That was just the best way it worked out before E3. So come out and support us. We are going to be hosting the stream on our channel. We're going to have, like I said before, commentators that will be hopping around between different games. So there'll be two sets of pool plays going at the same time, but the commentary will be on one set at a time. And each team should get two of their games commentated on during the pool play. That's how that's designed to work out right now. So check out the other podcasts. Again, it's Drunken Halo, which we've had on before several times. Podcast Evolve, which I believe we've had on here once, and Delta Halo, which is a new podcast. I believe they're on their 29th episode, so they've literally only been around here for half a year. They are a competitive focused podcast, so if you kind of follow the hierarchy of where all of our podcasts are, we are a lot more headline news and community focused. Drunken Halo, I term the coin as a lifestyle Halo podcast. Drunken Halo is kind of one of those that is floats around between different topics depending on what they feel like, and it's really just two brothers going through their time playing Halo and the other interests around Halo that they have and just discuss certain topics that are important to them. So that's why I kind of term it the lifestyle podcast, which I think is actually pretty cool to see. It gives you a certain level of realism into their lives playing Halo, which is awesome. Then you have Podcast Evolve, which is a lore-focused podcast. And then Delta Halo is a competitive-focused podcast, which we haven't really had something that's been consistent like that before. We had, I think, back in the day, Arm the Flag possibly had a podcast. I can't remember for sure. I think they did. But that's been a while ago. And then Bomb Planted was Team Beyond's podcast. That's very sporadic. So it's nice to have a podcast that is dedicated to covering competitive. And now since the Summer League is open, it's going to be nice to have them cover that stuff and be a central location for it. So I'm not as worried about covering the competitive stuff as much anymore, but it's still something I would like to cover every now and then. And we do plan to have them on the show here at some point in the near future, which will be good.
Be good to meet them.
By the way, since we did touch on competitive a little bit, Nated dropped off of Optic. So for those who don't know, Nated was is pretty much the only parent, I think, that is on any professional Halo team. And he was on Allegiance. Was it Allegiance? Yeah, Team Allegiance for the Halo World Championship. Their team made second place. He was called the MVP of the Halo World Championship, and then he joined Optic's squad when Allegiance broke up and went their separate ways. And 2 days before the Summer League started, so on Tuesday, he dropped out. And it's not just he dropped Optic and went to another team. He's out for this league. I haven't had a chance to read up on why, but it did kind of come a little bit to a shock to some people of him dropping out.
Well, hopefully it's nothing serious.
If someone in the chat knows, definitely enlighten me. I'm hoping it's something where it's just kind of family time, in which case I think that's very important for him to maybe just take a break for a season and then come back. Because it would be nice to see him like playing. I know a lot of people would like to see him play, but ultimately it is his decision. I hope it's nothing team dynamic wise that kind of had to force him to leave. My hope is that it's more just the fact that he is looking to spend his time a little bit differently. At least that's my hope.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit of a shock this week. Like I said, I hope
it's nothing that is like serious problem or anything.
Agreed. It'd be bad if it was otherwise. I think it'd be very unfortunate. And just a reminder again, the Summer League started today. We had the European stream a little bit earlier today, and I believe the North American stream, if it hasn't wrapped up already, I think they're kind of getting close to the end for the night. ACS Live Tweets is still going, so it looks like they're still streaming, which is good. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit after E3, start talking about some of the competitive stuff, get the Delta Halo guys on, and start to cover some of that stuff. Again, short podcast tonight. Don't have too much to talk to and haven't really lined up anything as far as community guests or highlights since we are kind of leading up to E3. We do have Halo coming officially to RTX. They are the Rooster Teeth Twitter account did put out that Halo is going to be there. They missed last year because of RTX being in August, which was the same weekend as Gamescom. So they really couldn't be in two places at once. And RTX in the past has been on July 4th weekend. But back to that weekend, which is awesome, makes my travel schedule a little crazy because that means I am at E3. I have a week and a half. Then I travel to Texas for RTX, and then I have another week and a half, and then I travel out to San Diego.
I like how the year I decide I'm going to go to RTX, it magically changed dates.
It was the 1 year. You got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. The 1 year, they moved it a month down the road. Yeah. One of these days. No, I still had a blast. It was a lot of fun. The only thing I will do different next time is I will leave a day earlier to go down. Because driving for 11 hours and then trying to function at a convention, not good.
Kind of sucks a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, if we hadn't done the podcast that night, I probably would have been okay.
Gotcha.
But I drove for 11 hours, got there, sat down for 4 hours, you know, with unpacking and everything. And then it did a podcast. I think we all wound up going to bed like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Something like that. Yeah. It was pretty late.
Because we had to wait for Bio to come in before we could do the podcast. And he didn't show up until like 10, I think it was. 9 or 10. And then, of course, we had to go to Slotsky.
It wasn't that late, was it? Because we went to go pick him up at the airport.
Yeah, I know. But it was dark when we went there.
Yeah, but that's like 8:30, 9 o'clock, not 10. I think we got to Slotsky's around.
Like I said, 9 or 10. I couldn't remember when. And then, you know, of course, we had to hit Slotsky's, which that was an hour and a half. I found the weight capacity. I found the weight capacity of my wife's Jeep and exceeded it.
There is a video out there somewhere. Did we post it on YouTube or was it just like a Twitter thing? I forget. But yeah,
Haas put out a short one on his channel.
Okay. Yeah, that's where it was.
Of the gentleman looking for jet fuel.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that guy. Oh my gosh.
Needs money to put fuel in his jet.
Oh yeah.
I have to admit that's pretty inventive. I have never seen that before.
Wow. Alrighty.
For those of you that know what a Jeep Cherokee is, about a 98 model, if you know what size it is, imagine 6 people inside this with luggage for one person only. You have Dust and Haas, which are both over 6 foot, or well, what you're like 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, and Haas is just as tall as Dust. Then you have me, which I'm 6'2", I weigh 330 pounds. Of course, I had the driver's seat. Had my wife, which she's small, so that really didn't take up a whole lot of space. Then we have real friend.
Oh, yeah. Real life friend.
Who got to be the meat and the sandwich in the back seat between Haas and Dust. And then we had Beowulf stuffed in the luggage compartment in the back.
With his luggage.
With his luggage.
That was a great trip.
We tested the limits of that truck. I did wind up making it all the way back with most of the tread on the tires.
Oh, that was a great weekend. That was a really good
weekend. Oh, it was. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Can't wait to do it again.
Well, we'll have 15 years here in four years if we decide to do something then.
I will put bigger springs on my truck before I come down.
Fair enough. Might have to finance those a little bit. Pull it out of the Podtacular Fund, which doesn't exist. But anyways, I guess something else that we can mention real quick is that the campaign that we had for the Keep Calm and Hashtag Blame Beowulf shirt is over. We only had 8 sell, but it was enough to get those printed. We did turn a profit off of it. So that for those who ordered the shirt are going to be getting their shirts. And those will be the only ones that exist. So, yeah. If you didn't get your shirt by now, it's too late.
I think I'm going to frame mine and put it on the wall.
One of your three?
Yeah, I think I'll do that. Just put one. I got one to wear and I got one to put on the wall. There we go.
There you go. Works for me, right?
Yeah. No, I don't do that. I buy a shirt. I buy it to wear it.
Nice. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for tuning in. Remember, we do have the Pro League Summer 2016 going on right now. So for those that are listening live, you can head on over to that. I'll probably have the channel host it right after we're done with the podcast tonight to finish off for those that are in here with the chat to us tonight. You can check us out during our live shows for those of you who download the show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a few people in the chat usually that are kind of talking, and you've heard a couple of times that we mentioned people in the chat. That's where it is. And you can find that over at podtacular.com/Twitch. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We will be using Instagram a lot during the Xbox media brief and during E3 week. So if there's anything that you want us to take a look at, and if there's anything that we're going to be posting, it's going to be from the Instagram account. And again, for all that stuff, you can just do podtacular.com/whatever, and that will take you to those things respectively. Just want to put out another reminder to make sure you check out the Halo Bowl next week. It's going to be on Wednesday, June 8th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time and going on for however long it takes for us to get our games done. And again, those podcasts that are participating is ours, Drunken Halo, Podcast Evolved, and Delta Halo. Make sure you go and check them out. We also have a podcast network that we are a part of called the Podcast Network. It's over at podka.st and it includes other shows like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time, and The Learning Cliff. And Critzcast was supposed to split off their Overwatch part that they were doing. They once Overwatch was announced, which is very similar to TF2, they started talking about it a lot, and they haven't it doesn't look like they've split it off yet, but they spent a lot of time going back and forth between Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch. They kind of covered both of them in the same show. It took up quite a bit of a time slot for each one, so they were going to split that off. Doesn't look like they've done it yet. I did have a chance to talk to Aggro, and there is one in the works. They're still kind of polishing it and making sure that it's all set to go properly before they release it. For those that are interested in Overwatch, that'll be something that you will probably want to listen to, and we will let you know when that podcast becomes available. Again, make sure you go check that out and the rest of the podcasts on the network. You can find that over at podka.st. Next week, we'll be doing some E3 predictions and probably a couple of other things. We might get some guests on for that. Not sure what's happening yet. In conjunction with next week, we'll also be doing another second show, which will be all four of our podcasts to do a recap of the Halo Bowl. So you'll get two podcasts next week. Double whammy. I'll know if we'll be hosting it from our channel, but we'll at least be recording it. That's for sure. And that's that. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you all next week, unless you are going to be participating in tomorrow night's Fraggin' Fridays with Godzilla T at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So unless we see you there, we will see you all next week. Again, no Spartan Company events next week because of the Halo Bowl. We will be resuming that during E3 week. I will be out, so we'll need someone to volunteer to step up to host those events during E3 week. So if you're part of the company, please send me a message on the company forums or company PM, and I will make sure to get the word out that you will be hosting. And I'll be sending out another message next week about the lobby host during E3 week for that as well. So if you're listening to this and want to help out with that, please let me know. If not, I'll be sending out a message, and we will talk to you guys then. Keep it real, everybody. Talk to you next week.